Well, I saw more than just ladies in red at the Rock LA Comic Con in Pasadena this weekend, where I was speaking with Mark Zakrie. They were yellow, polka dotted, pink. They were wearing all kinds of outfits. It was just an incredible event. And all of you who came by, thank you so much for supporting Coast to Coast in that event. You know, for more than two decades, Barbara Hand Clough and her partner Jerry Clough have taught thousands of people worldwide how to simply navigate the nine dimensions to lead fuller, more conscious lives. And you know, as we enter the end dates of the Mayan calendar, exploring these realms of consciousness becomes quite essential to all of us. In a moment, we talk with Barbara about the alchemy of nine dimensions on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Barbara Hand Clough, noted author and international speaker and ceremonial leader trained in Cherokee and Mayan traditions. Her website is handcloud2012.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, gives us new insights into what may happen. She is an expert on Mayan prophecy, and she's back on Coast to Coast. You've been away for 2.5 years, Barbara. How are you?
Hi, George. How are you? It's good to be here.
Yeah, likewise. You've been doing a lot of work, too. And by the way, wanted to thank you for your first work, of course, on Mayan prophecies that you did. That, I think, helped set the tone, the Mayan code, for, you know, a lot of things that people are beginning to think about today. And yes. You had some insight way ahead of the pack there.
Yeah, and I really feel that it's helping us navigate through this, because now we're really getting to the really difficult parts of the journey. And so I've been excited by how much this information seems to be a guide for people. And then, as you know, on my website, I combine Mayan prediction work with astrology. And this just kind of happened naturally, because I've been an astrologer for about 40 years. And once I combined the two techniques, I'm just kind of floored myself by the accuracy of the guidance that we're getting. So that's kind of what I'm doing these days.
We're going to talk about these nine dimensions tonight, Barbara, and I want you to kind of break them down for us. But tell me a little bit about what your feelings are about just what has been going on worldwide lately. It was a poll that was just taken, something we've been talking about for well over 2 years, that Americans are beginning to feel very uneasy, not just with the economy, but just everything that's out there. Do you sense that?
Oh, I absolutely sense it. And not only that, it was predicted in the Mayan code, because at the current moment, we're in the middle of night six of the galactic underworld. And the galactic underworld is a time acceleration cycle that started in 1999. And when we come to night six, which is the 12th stage of it, day seven is the next stage of it next year. And when we come to night six, we come to the point where people really start to see the real truth. And if you recall from our previous conversation, the galactic underworld, the cycle that started in 1999, is forcing us to process the previous underworlds. The way this works is there are nine underworlds, and each one of them is accelerating faster and faster. And so the underworld before this one is the planetary underworld, which started in 1755, which rules the development of industry. And then the underworld before the planetary underworld is the national underworld, which goes back to about 3,115 BC. And that underworld is the development of civilization and priest-king theocracies. And so what we've been doing since 1999 is we've been in the middle of a deep experiential process of letting go of the industrial paradigm and letting go of the rulership paradigm. And now that we've gotten to night six, which is the point where we are right at the current moment, we're at the deepest level of this. And then another piece of it is there's other underworlds besides these two underworlds. The main work since 1999 has been to let go of these old forms and structures so that we can go to a new level. But sometimes we also end up resonating with the previous underworlds. And the one before the historical national underworld is called the regional underworld. And this underworld is 100,000 years long. It goes from about 100,000 BC up to 2011 AD, up through 2011 AD. And this underworld is the first underworld in which we really became conscious as humans.
Why do I think underworld means bad? It doesn't necessarily mean that, does it?
No, it's a Mayan term. And my work, of course, in this particular section of my work is based on the research of Carl Johan Kalman, the Swedish biologist. Mm-hmm. And so he uses the term underworld, and I do too, because this is a Mayan a term. And it's meant to give you the sense of forces that are aggregated and building below you, so that they're always like building and growing and spiraling and moving, and this is what's causing you to move along. So that's why they use the term underworld. And so this previous underworld is the first time that we became conscious as humans. This is when we see ritual burial, and we see cave art, Paleolithic cave art and everything. And we're resonating with a certain period of time in the regional underworld, which is also night six, the same as we are now with the galactic. And what we're resonating with right now during the regional underworld is the period from the younger Dryas geological phase, weather phase, through the cataclysms of 9500 BC. This is about 11,500 or 12,000 years ago. And so right now, we have a very, very deep undercurrent this year, especially during May and June of 2010, where we are actually remembering these previous cataclysms, and we're resonating with the fact that it's not just the Earth, the whole solar system actually went through a major series of cataclysms. And so I was, speaking of the value of Kalaman's research, of course, I was watching for what was going to pop up during May and June. In other words, I was looking for something that was a great cataclysm that's in some way on the level of the previous experience, so that we would be forced to start to process these hidden memories.
Could you call this oil spill that?
Oh, yeah. And when that happened, in fact, when it happened, first of all, most of us, when it first happened, we could really feel the intensity just the absolute cataclysmic nature of it. But by watching it through time acceleration, I became aware that we were going to experience certainly the greatest cataclysm of my lifetime. And of course, when I was a child, they were still testing hydrogen bombs. And so this is a cataclysm with nature of that magnitude. But the difference, of course, is this one is caused by our species.
Yes, absolutely. And our greed and everything else, Barbara.
Yes. And corporate power too. Another issue here, George, would be that we're resonating also with night six of the planetary underworld, which happens to be 1972 to 1992. And when you go back to 1972 to 1992, you kind of have a tendency in the beginning to kind of go, "Oh, that's no big deal," but in fact, this was the period when the corporate takeover occurred at the structural level through the banking institutions and through the legal systems. And so right now we're resonating with approximately 1984. And then regarding the national underworld, the previous one to that, we're resonating with the period of the Inquisition and the plagues and the early awakening in medieval Europe. So we're really on the line this year, and my main work has been counseling people, because people just absolutely can't comprehend what's happening to them.
Well, it's disappointing what is happening, but you have stepped up this Mayan calendar date too. Then you've moved it from December 21st, 2012 mm-hmm. to October 28th of 2011.
Yeah, and as you know, there's a big fight going on in the field over this, although it seems to be calming down. The situation that we're all dealing with now seems to be so utterly difficult that people have stopped their sort of scholarly arguing. But December 21st, 2012 is the date for the classic Mayan calendar that all the scholars came up with in 1950, and of course you know that. And then with Kalaman coming down the pike, Kalaman believes that the Maya at Palenque tweaked the date around 700 or 800 AD, because and I find this a really interesting idea, because I also do shamanic work. And Kalaman and I both believe that the Maya discovered right around 700 or 800 AD that they had the timing almost right, but something was a little bit off, and they tweaked the date in order to correct the timing. And I think Kalaman is right about this, because of course my response to that was I've been testing him for 4 years. In other words, if he's right, then what he says should be happening. And if he doesn't have the right timing, it's not going to work that way. And this is actually an extremely critical issue as far as people who are interested in Kalaman, because we have one more time acceleration, which begins in March of 2011 next year. This is the final underworld, the ninth underworld. called the Universal Underworld. And for anybody who can remember the intensity of the acceleration back in 1999, and like in my universe, suddenly everything was just flying, and I couldn't comprehend what was happening. And of course, you can say, oh, it's computers, it's Blackberries, it's cell phones that caused it. But what caused the computers and the cell phones and the Blackberries? And so we've had this extremely intense technological acceleration, and now I think the next acceleration is going to be a mystical acceleration. I see many, many, many signs that we're moving into a new and very high state of consciousness, which is going to help us deal with some of this.
Let's talk a little bit about that consciousness, Barbara. How important is that, the entire mix?
Well, it's obviously of critical importance, and what I'd like to bring into it is what's my part in it, because, of course, I'm not Carl Kalman, I'm me, you know. So back in 1995, I channeled the Pleiadian Agenda, A New Cosmology for the Age of Light, and this is where the nine-dimensional teaching came from. And this was a completely channeled book, and when I got it all finished and put it all together, I had the tapes transcribed and made it into a book. When the whole thing came together, I basically didn't understand half of the material in that book, and I went out and taught it, even though I didn't understand most of it. And then from 1995 up through 2004, I went into deep scientific research of what the Pleiadians were saying. This book was channeled from beings from the Pleiadian mm-hmm. star system. And I went back and I did a scientific analysis by research as well as with students of what these nine dimensions might be. And then in 2004, I finally had the data on eight of the nine dimensions. So I published the first edition of Alchemy. And then the next thing that happened is, of course, this is typical. As soon as I got Alchemy out there and going, then the information on the ninth dimension came in, which is Dr. Kalman's research. So the reason that there's a new edition here is because the ninth dimension is the highest dimension, and it's the dimension that sets the agenda for the other eight dimensions. And so I revised Alchemy of Nine Dimensions to bring in the ninth dimensional aspect. And at least in my world, one thing I forgot to say, is that back in 1995, when the book came in, the Pleiadians said that all humans would have access to nine dimensions of consciousness by the end of the Mayan
code. Simultaneously.
I don't know if it was simultaneously. They just said by the end of the Mayan calendar. And if you work with time acceleration theory, then that would be a process that would be building and building and building exponentially, which it seems to be. And so back in those days, of course, I thought that the end of the calendar was 2012. And, of course, now I'm working with October 28, 2011. So what I did with that information was I just went out and started teaching nine-dimensional consciousness with my husband, Jerry. That was such an interesting experience for us because Jerry is a polarity therapist and a craniosacral therapist. And so Jerry is body and I'm mind. And right away we found that the energy of teaching nine dimensions simultaneously in our workshops, people experience it simultaneously because of the way we create the workshop. But we found that the energy of bringing in nine dimensions simultaneously was so intense that we actually have one healer for every student, for every 10 students in our workshops. In other words, we're working body-mind together because of the intensity of this information.
When we talk about these dimensions, is it accurate for us, Barbara, to go from 1 to 9, or do we jump around here?
What's fun is you could go from 1, from the lower dimensions up through the higher dimensions, or you can start in the higher dimensions and you can come all the way back down through to the lower dimensions. You can go either way and you just get a different result from that. Then the third element that the Pleiadians introduced was they said that if we can understand how our bodies receive this energy, you know, how our orientation needs to be in order to receive these dimensions, then they say we will get a lot further. And so what they like to do is they like to have the center of the dimensional access be the third dimension, which is linear space and time, which is you and me on the phone together. It's just our current reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lower dimensions are the telluric realm, the elemental world below the crust of the planet. And then the first dimension is the iron core crystal in the center. So the Pleiadians teach us to tune into that iron crystal and pick up its information and then activate ourselves by means of the elemental telluric realm, the realm of the magma and the rocks and the chemicals, and then awaken ourselves in the third dimension. And the image they use is of a person lying on a table with the lower dimensions below the body. And then they see the fourth dimension as a canopy of energy that formulates over our bodies, and that canopy of energy is the collective of all the thoughts and feelings of all the humans on the planet.
Barbara, in your opinion, and we're going to get into Mayan prophecy a lot, but how did they know this?
How did they know about the nine dimensions, or how did they know about the time?
Both.
Okay, because the nine-dimensional teaching literally came through me as a channel in 95. So that's the source for that.
For that, okay.
Yeah, that's the source for that. But as far as the Mayan timing and the ninth dimension, now the Pleiadians, when the book came through, said that the ninth dimension was time and that the ninth dimension was ruled by Zolk'in. Now, Zolk'in is the Mayan day calendar, which, of course, I knew at the time. So they did identify the Mayan calendar as being in the ninth dimension, but that was just their identification. As far as the Maya are concerned, there's a lot of controversy over how they got this information. And I did publish in the Mayan Code my own opinion. And I am a Mayan elder, and I was really afraid that a lot of my other elders down in Mexico and Guatemala were going to really give me a hard time.
Why?
Well, because what I decided, what you always have to do, you know, is you have to tell the truth about what you think. And the more I studied the calendar and the more I understand about other spiritual teachings, like the Vedas, really ancient Indian teachings, the more I came to the conclusion that this calendar had to be a very, very old record that was somehow salvaged. And so back to the issue of these cataclysms, around 11 or 12,000 years ago, I wrote another book called Catastrophobia, which came out in 2001, which posits that we had very high knowledge and consciousness before around 12,000 years ago, and then because of the cataclysms that we lost the records and we lost the consciousness. So there's two factors there, George. The way I would put that would be, number one, we lost the access to nine dimensions of consciousness. The Pleiadians and I are saying that it's normal for us to have this consciousness, and we lost it.
And you don't, and you do not believe that the Mayan prophecies will result in the apocalypse, as some people believe.
No, but let me just finish that. The other issue would be, where did that calendar come from? And I think that it's a very old record, and I actually think that there are traces of it in the Vedas. And I think probably the Vedas salvaged that calendar, and then the Mayans were the best keepers of it. I just like to put that in
record. All right, so it may not have been theirs, but they may have been the keepers of it.
Yeah, and that's why I was afraid to say anything, because working with indigenous tradition, indigenous people hate it when somebody says somebody else came up with.
Well, you tell Zahi Hawass that somebody other than the Egyptians constructed the pyramids, and yes, you'll hear. So I know exactly,
you know what I mean.
What you're talking about. Course, Barbara is talking about, it's not going to result in apocalypse, but it's going to be a new era of human consciousness. And we'll talk with her about that and these other dimensions when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest is Barbara Hand-Clow, author of Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, and we'll be back with Barbara in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Barbara Hand-Clow on Coast to Coast AM. And Barbara, before we get into these dimensions, by simply being aware of them, what does it do for someone? Does it give them an advantage in life, or what?
Well, it gives you a tremendously greater knowledge field. For example, the first dimension, the iron core crystal, is the location of the Akashic records, which is the records of all that's happened.
It's our book of life almost.
Yeah, it's our book of life. Yeah, that's right. And so each one of the dimensions has special information. Another good example is the sixth dimension has to do with geometry and a field of ideal forms, which is very close to Plato. And so when we learn in our dimension, the third dimension, to align with sixth dimension by doing yoga or Tai Chi or Sacred Dance or whatever, we stay in ideal form in this dimension. So each one of the dimensions has very, very special information for us. And when you activate all of them and start living that way, your life changes very profoundly.
Okay, let's start. Let's start on the bottom. First dimension, what is that?
Okay, the first dimension is an iron core crystal in the center of our planet. And when that information came in 1994, science hadn't discovered that yet. So, of course, I got very excited when science later on came around to that idea. So the iron core crystal in the center of the planet is the first dimension, and when we tune into it, we have the access to all these records. And then the second dimension is all of the realm of energy and consciousness between the iron core crystal and the crust of the planet. And this is the magma and the telluric realm and all of the volcanic forces are operating.
So far we're talking about physical dimensions,
yeah,
right?
These are physical. The first three dimensions are very physical.
All right.
And the third dimension is easy because it's linear space and time, and here we are. That's simple. And the teaching about the third dimension, why would you want to master the third dimension? Well, it has to do with a lot of indigenous teachings about the seven sacred directions and being oriented properly in this dimension. And, of course, it provided all that in the book. Then when we get into the fourth dimension, the canopy that forms over our body, the collective mind, all of the thoughts and feelings aggregate of our species, we're getting into a dimension which is not physical but is extremely palpable to us. And also the fourth dimension is where all of the global elite control patterns are operating, because the elite programs are a mastery of the collective thoughts and feelings of the human race. And so one of the advantages of mastering the fourth dimension and figuring out the game is that you then have the opportunity to free yourself from some of this control. And also the control patterns themselves actually function based on secrecy.
And I would say that some people are becoming aware of this dimension.
A lot of people
now,
George.
Yeah.
You know, I've been teaching for 35 years now, and I'm obviously an optimist, although I'm not a Pollyanna. And the reason I'm such an optimist is I've just seen such phenomenal growth in people. And then regarding something like figuring out what the global elite is doing, the younger a person is, the more likely they are to be well informed. Like for example, I find that 15 to 20 year olds are the best students.
Okay.
You know, that's because they're just so incredibly
well-informed. They're open.
And 30 to 40-year-olds know a lot, and 40 to 50-year-olds know a lot. And then when you get up to my age group, what's happening for my age group, the boomers and all that, is that we've had all these wonderful authors like Graham Hancock and William Bramley and all the different authors who have provided so much information over the last 20 or 25 years. And so there's a lot of people in the boomer generation who have figured out the game, and they are angry.
Okay, so that's...
But you can't get angry until you see what's going... If you can't see what's going on, how are you going to respond?
That's right.
Yeah. So that's the fourth dimension.
All right.
And then once we move through the fourth dimension is very polarized into dark and light, as you can imagine, very archetypal. Then when we go into the fifth dimension, we start moving into the opening of the heart. And so the fifth dimension is the dimension of unconditional love. And most everybody on the planet knows what that means. Whether they're open or not is another story. But the interesting thing about this dimensional teaching is that you can't really move into unconditional love and the open heart until you've overcome the duality of the fourth dimension. As long as you're going back and forth between the dark and the light, you're getting thrown around into a lot of judgment. And then what happens is you're a fairly closed person. So a lot of the healing modalities that we've been developing in the last 30 or 40 years are really aimed at opening the heart.
Okay.
And then the dimensions above this get really interesting because the dimensions above this are really more Western consciousness than Eastern consciousness. The Eastern spiritual tradition tends to be right there with the open heart, and they don't need any more complexity. But those of us who have Western consciousness, we have another whole field of information we work with. So once we move out of the dimension of the open heart, then the open heart expands into sacred geometry. And the sixth dimension is the realm of sacred geometry and the world of forms that cause things to replicate down here. Then once we move out of the sixth dimension, we move into the seventh dimension, which is sound. And in this teaching, the sound in the seventh dimension creates the geometry, and then the geometry creates the open heart. That's where you can go either way fairly easily. Once we have moved into the realm of sound, and there's a lot of people these days working with some very advanced sound healing techniques that are very powerful for people, because the higher you go up in the dimensions, the more potent the influence of that dimension can be.
Are you drawing on something? Are you pulling in some kind of power?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, people can do that with geometrical fields. That's one of the reasons I went after crop circles in Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. I've got two chapters on crop circles, just because the crop circles are such an amazing demonstration of the power of geometry in our dimension. So then when we go into the eighth dimension, we move into the divine mind, into divine consciousness, and you can certainly call it God if you want to, or goddess. And so all of this fits with the Bible, where the word of God, the sound of the word, then created the form and so on and so forth. And then the big mystery of this teaching is that then we go into the ninth dimension, which is the time codes of the Mayan calendar, which, as I said, I couldn't understand until I discovered Kalaman. And Kalaman has brought through a theory that the Mayan code actually is a calendar for the evolution of not only our species, but the evolution of everything that exists, going back 16.4 billion years ago.
And he was a Swedish biologist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right now he's a cancer researcher in Chicago, in Seattle. But yeah, he's a Swedish biologist. So when we get into these time codes, there are two things that are interesting. First of all, isn't it amazing that the Mayans 13 or 1400 to 2,2500 years ago seem to have the record of evolution going all the way back to the Big Bang? That is the definite implication of this idea. And then the most interesting thing for most people, of course, is we're coming to the end of the calendar. We're alive, you know, during the end time of this calendar.
You say we're kind of sandwiched now between the second and fourth dimensions. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, the second dimension is the telluric elemental realm, which is very dense and very intense, and also is very chemical and gives us a sense of healing codes, as a matter of fact. Then we're in the third dimension, and then the fourth dimension is the archetypal realm of dark and light energies and the collective consciousness. And so if you think of yourself as a human being, you know, we're in the third dimension, but we're being activated by that second dimensional force, which has certainly been very strong for us lately with a big volcano blowing off. And then we are also being jerked around constantly by the complexity of the archetypes in the fourth dimension. So we really are like, we're like the sticky sugar in an Oreo cookie.
Are we stuck?
We are until we figure it out.
Yet some people have gone beyond this.
Maybe. I think if you get that far, you're moving into pretty high codes of enlightenment, and it's not very common as far as I can tell.
Is there a timetable for these stages, these dimensions?
This is the calendar. That's what's amazing about it. The dimensions, as I said to you before, were apparently open for us during the Paleolithic period until the cataclysms. In other words, it's not normal for us to be shut down with the dimensions. But another factor is operating here, which is leading us toward this acceleration into enlightenment. And here we are poised right on the edge of this experience.
Once we get to this higher level of human consciousness, is it automatic? Is it definitely going to happen around this October time period next year?
Well, what the Pleiadians said in the Pleiadian agenda was that our reality, our physical reality, the planet, would be permeated by the full Bohr blast of nine dimensions of consciousness. And they seem to be saying that people can't avoid it anymore. In other words, when that juice comes on, people are going to have to respond to it and move very, very quickly into much more advanced levels of dealing with reality. Let me just give you an example.
All right.
For example, in the healing movement, we've been doing a lot of body work for the last 30 or 40 years because we recognize that people have so many hidden blocks in their bodies. And what healers are doing is constantly helping people to clear the blocks so they can go to another level. Well, imagine what it would be like on this planet if that energy opened up and suddenly everybody's blocks were opening pretty much simultaneously.
Let's talk a little bit more about this crystal core that you say was in the first dimension. Explain that more.
Yeah, the Pleiades. I always in alchemy, what I did is half the book explains what the Pleiadians said, and then the other half of it examines it scientifically. So according to what the Pleiadians say, they say that this matrix in the center of our planet holds all the records of all time, the book, as you said, the book of life, and that we have the ability in our dimension to access all that information, which I have definitely experienced to be true myself, and I've known a lot of other psychics who can definitely do it too. It just depends on how much time you have. And then scientifically speaking, we now know that there is a very, very, there's one huge, dense iron crystal in the center of our planet that is probably about as big as the moon. I mean, it's huge. And this is science. This isn't channeling. And so in our work, we travel down into the crystal. That's one of the fun things about the workshops is taking people down into the crystal.
It was just formed as the planet formed?
I don't think anybody knows how this happened. I mean, it has to do with how the planets are created. Nobody knows. The reason we know about it, George, is that the geologists had set up sensors. This is 1996. By 1996, they had managed to set up sensors all over the planet because they were trying to detect what would happen if there was an earthquake on one side of the planet that was strong enough to send a wave all the way through the planet to the sensor on the other side. And so there was a very, very deep earthquake in, I think it was Colombia. It was in that area of South America, about a 9.5 earthquake that was about 500 or 600 miles down. And it sent the signal, and at that point, they were able to establish what was down there. But we can't do that on Jupiter or Mars or Venus. We don't know whether the other planets have anything like this, but we know that the Earth does. And we know that it has a lot to do with gravity and a lot to do with electromagnetism. It's a very big factor on our planet.
You have gotten into crop circles in your work. Mm-hmm. What's its relationship?
Well, the crop circles, the reason I put them in the book is because they create themselves by means of the nine dimensions. And, of course, where does that idea come from? Well, I used to be a crop circle researcher back in the 80s and 90s and spent a lot of time hanging out with the circles. And the way it works is that a moment in time comes in the Mayan calendar timing when a certain form needs to come to the consciousness of Earth. And are you aware of the crop circle about 3 or 4 days ago that's based on Euler's formula?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing crop circle.
Yeah,
I mean, just a knockout. And Euler's formula is considered to be one of the most beautiful mathematical formulas. And, you know, mathematicians will say that it's the only thing they know that even describes human love. I mean, it's an amazing formation. And so what happens is it's time for Euler's formula and the energy of it to implant on our planet. So the Mayan calendar releases the time code into the divine mind. Then the divine mind releases it into sound. And a lot of crop circle researchers have heard sound when the crop circles actually occur. Then the sound creates the geometry, and then the geometry creates the love, which brings the energy to our planet. And then it in the fourth dimension, the crop circle polarizes between dark and light. And then finally, the crop circle imprints on the field of the planet somewhere. But the interesting thing about it is that these crop circles are mostly appearing only in certain parts of the planet, such as Wiltshire in England. And the reason for that is that the second dimension has certain energy forms in it that make it possible for that crop circle to come through. So to me, this, having spent so much time in crop circles, this is just a simple idea. But then what I did is I had my illustrator illustrate it. So I've got an illustration in the book showing the idea of the crop circle coming through the dimensions, because I think it is the best demonstration of this nine-dimensional model that is happening on the planet.
With these Earth changes, Barbara, that are occurring right now, I mean, it's almost like the perfect storm of events. I sometimes think maybe that's what this 2012 period meant, that they knew that the planet was also going to undergo some huge physical changes. But you think primarily it's going to be one of consciousness.
I think earth changes are definitely a part of it. And that's why I've been doing my website, Tracking Astrology. Because, see, I take the issue of where we are in an underworld, but then month by month, moon by moon, and season by season, I'm working it out astrologically. Because the astrology itself is just showing just tremendous levels of earth changes on the planet. I'd be the last person to deny that that isn't happening, first of all, especially since mid-January. And that also is going to accelerate more. But I think it's so important not to go into fear and ideas about the end of the world. This is a birthing and a breakthrough to a new level. And as difficult as it is for all of us to live with this, I think that we need to, I'm personally incredibly excited about what's happening, and I just hope I'm not going to be in the middle of an earthquake. I hope you're not, too. You know, I live in a very, very heavy-duty tectonic zone, and maybe I'll have to experience something like that. I hope not. But I do believe that our planet is really moving into another level. You're familiar with Teilhard de Chardin, the paleontologist, the French paleontologist?
A little bit, not a lot.
Yeah, because he's the one who said back in the 50s, that we were headed for this breakthrough point, and that we were coming to the peak of our evolution. And Carl Coleman really takes off from Teilhard de Chardin. In other words, he takes that idea, and then he goes forward with it and believes that the Mayan calendar actually expresses the timing of these changes.
So you think we'll be okay? That's the bottom line.
I think we'll be okay, but at the same time, the next couple of months are going to be some of the worst that we've ever known. I always hate to say depressing things, but we're coming up to a series of eclipses now, and we're coming up to the summer solstice period, and we're coming up to the real intense peaking of a lot of the difficulties that we're experiencing. And this includes the financial system, as well as the issue of earth changes.
It's a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's and that's why I like the term time acceleration, because it's just going faster and faster and faster. And all we can do is try to comprehend it and stay as balanced as possible.
And I want to talk with you as well about this dimension where you believe the globalists are doing what they do. How do we go past that?
The only thing that seems to make any difference is for us collectively to uncover the secrets. And if you watch the global elite slowly, and you watch what's going on in banking and industry right now, those guys are running scared, you know, because their control is falling apart. Who would deny that with the oil men, for example, and some of the bankers? And so we're at the breakdown point, and it's up to each one of us to follow what's going on, to understand what they're doing, to demand changes in our lives and in our communities. This is a really, really amazing critical moment right now.
All right, Barbara, stay with us. We're going to come back in a second and continue talking about the alchemy of the nine dimensions. We'll also take some phone calls. They sound a little like the string theory, doesn't it? We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.